verse 1. St. John chapter 13 and verse 1. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of the world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And the supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper and laid aside his garments, and took a towel and girded himself. After that he poureth water into a basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. And Jesus saith to him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him, therefore said he, You're not all clean. Chapter 30 of the book of Proverbs, the words of the preacher in verse 12. Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 12. There is a generation that are pure in their own eyes, and yet is not washed from their filthiness. My text again is St. John 13 and verse 8. Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part. If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. And if the Lord would stand by me, I'd like to preach today on what I'm calling Christ or crud. Christ or crud. Mr. Webster tells us that crud is slang for accumulated filth. Grease, grit, and grime that accumulates, that is a crustacean. It's a filth, a refuge, a waste. Amen. That piles up because there is not a daily washing or there is not a frequent cleansing. Here we see this wonderful story in that what I want us to deal with this morning is not the explanation of cleansing, but the experience of cleansing. For you see, old-time religion is better felt than taught. And while we may not have any problem with the theology, I feel like we're lacking in the neology. Amen. We're wanting and we're lacking in that daily washing and that daily cleansing. And we have no problem with the explanation of what we believe and the why and the wherefore of our faith. But we lack that daily experience of knowing the washing and the cleansing, the regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Let us look here and let us see the scene of this crowd. There are the disciples is assembled with our Lord. And then suddenly it seems like the focus point is Peter. It seems like that every eye for a moment is centered upon him. Now there may be a question of the noblest crowd, the wealthiest crowd, the largest crowd, but without a doubt, the best crowd is a crowd of one. Amen. It seems like Christ does his best when he reduces the congregation to one. Amen. You see, a lawyer cannot argue for his client by the dozens. He must do it singly, one at a time. The doctor cannot treat his patients, amen, as a lobby full. No, he must deal with them each problem at a time. And so the dentist must go into your mouth to deal with your problem and not your neighbor's mouth if he is to help you. Amen. So somehow in this story today, it seems like that Christ has somewhat something to say to Peter. Hallelujah. Amen. And the Lord, he reduces, amen, these 12 down to one. And he wants to speak to Peter. Amen. There's something wonderful about when Christ comes in the room and we suddenly realize that he wants to speak to none other than ourselves. Amen. Though others may be sitting around, though others may also be there, somehow they disappear. Their presence vanishes away, and they are now absent because the presence of Christ has filled the room, and he has somewhat to say to you and I. Hallelujah. You remember when Shakespeare, amen, gave us Hamlet, amen, the wicked king, amen, comes to the theater. His crime is reenacted before him. There he sits and witnesses his own dastardly deeds. And then suddenly his face begins to flush. Amen. The blood runs from him. Amen. He realized that he is the culprit. Amen. He is the guilty one. The room begins to spin. And feigning sickness, he flees from the building. Why? Because he realizes he is the one. And that's the beautiful thing about Christ. When he has something to say to us, amen, the roof, amen, is taken off. Amen. The crowd disperses. The walls disappear. And somehow we stand before the presence of God, and we realize that very God has something to say to us, and our secret sins are set in the light of his countenance. And so in this house today, may it be verily true, amen, that Christ, amen, would appear to us, amen, and we, amen, would be oblivious of our neighbor and the preacher brother that sits alongside, and we would hear that what Christ has to say to us, amen. Give the Lord a praise in this house today. Hallelujah. Amen. Let us see here, amen, that Peter is a first defiled man. Mark that. Note that. Peter is a defiled man. He is a man with defiled feet. The dust and the grime of the day's journey, amen, is but indicative and symbolical of an inner defilement of heart and soul to which our Lord desires to deal with. Henry Drummond said, "Oh, brethren, beware that we take care only of our outward sins, which our neighbors might see, and we care little about those inward sins which God sees." Amen. And so here it is. Peter is a man with defiled feet, and the Lord wants to wash his feet. Amen. May I preach to you today that you're here today and you're a defiled man, and Christ desires to wash you. Amen. The dust and the grime, amen, the filth and pollutions of this world, amen, that somehow attach ourselves to us, may this morning we realize and be made to see that we daily need a cleansing, a washing, and a regeneration, and a renewing in the Lord. Christ is here today, amen, to wash us, amen, and to cleanse us, amen. Watch this now. This defiled man is a privileged man. He is a privileged man because he is part of a glorious fellowship.
Amen. Of them he chose 12. Peter is a privileged man. Amen. That which was from the beginning, so says John, which we have heard. Amen. Which our eyes have seen, and we have looked upon, and our hands have handled. Even the word of life, the logos, the articulate, amen, voice of God. And the word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He is a privileged man, amen, because he is in the presence of the chosen. He is a privileged man because he is in the presence of Christ, a privileged man, but nevertheless a defiled man. A privileged man, yet defiled. A prominent man now, but defiled. Amen. One of the inner circle. Amen. Those select three, often named with James and John. Peter, there's nothing bashful or backward, inconspicuous about Peter. Amen. He's always voicing his opinion. He's always being heard. Amen. We notice him in the miracles. Amen. In the message, the Lord directs, amen, and speaks to Peter. A prominent man. You may be that man this morning. Your name, amen, of most renown, well respected, often heard. Help me while I preach. A man, amen, that is revered among our ranks. A man, amen, who is in great upstanding among we holiness people. A prominent man, but nevertheless a defiled man. Is that man in the house today? That man that is failing in his daily cleansing. That man that is waning, his fire is flickering. Amen. A prominent man, but a defiled man. Is that man in the building today? That man who is a prominent preacher. Amen. But the day, amen, in the hour that he is in now has defiled him. Amen. One thing notable concerning those Olympic runners in ancient Greece, the runner that won the race was not he who only finished the race first, but it's he who finished the race with his torch still burning. And I am afraid many of us are nearing the finish line and our torch is no longer burning. I am afraid many of us are nearing the finish line, my brethren, and the torch is not burning. A prominent man, but yet a defiled man.
My Lord,
you're right. A glorious fellowship, a great follower. But watch this. Peter is not only a privileged man. Peter is not only a prominent man. Peter is a proud man. He is guilty now of a grievous fault. He is guilty of a grievous fault, and hence his pride. For do you understand the question among them was which of them should be the greatest? Is not that the question among us today? Who preaches the most meetings? Whose name is listed most in the holiness messenger? Who's the best liked? Who's the most respected? Who, amen, is loved most? Oh, the question is, who is the greatest? And because of that, we too are guilty of a grievous fault, amen, in that we're proud and we're uplifted within ourselves. But the sacred record tells us, amen, that pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before fall. Amen. The proud, God said, he will not suffer. And pride he deems as an abomination. And he also declares it to be a sin? Are you guilty of that defilement today? Amen. That pride of race. Amen. You think yourself better. Amen. Because your skin is light and your neighbor is dark. A pride of race. A pride of place. Come on now. A pride of face. Amen. A pride of grace. You look down upon that person. That was a wicked man. A wretched sinner. And you look at them and you sneer. Amen. And you look down your nose at them. And you say, I thank God that I am not like others. Oh, the pride. The defilement. Amen. The inner secrecies. And the inner intricacies of the heart that defile our inward man. And we're concerned only about the sins our neighbors see. And we have no little concern about the sins that God sees. And we are a defiled man. Ooh. Ooh. Pride is the inordinate assertion of self. The old nature now exposes, exerts, and exalts itself. Come on. The negation of the grace of God and the contradiction of the humility of Christ. That sin of pride that causes a man to be lifted up and to look with question and offense when Christ desires to wash our feet. When we wonder, well, just who does he think he's preaching to? Come on now. Don't you know who I am? Don't you know what my name is? And we look with question and wounded pride that anyone would ever think that we need washing. Now, my brethren, these disciples are saved. Certainly they are saved. And certainly we are saved. Aren't you glad? Amen. But I want to try to reaffirm, amen, and renew within you the desire for a daily cleansing and to see our need that we must continually go to Christ. Amen. So, amen, the great old saint said that once and then ever after. Hallelujah. Woo! Amen. Oftentimes we become so proud and lifted up. We begin to think so much of us and we realize not our loneliness and the exceeding sinfulness of sin. Amen. Throw light into the darkened cells where passion reigns within. Quicken my conscience till it feels the loathsomeness of sin. Amen. Sin not in others around, but search me, oh God, if in chance, by chance, in me sin may be found. Amen. The sacred things of the heart to be put in the light of the countenance of God. Until I realize it's not my brother, it's not my sister, but it's me, oh Lord. I stand in the need of prayer. It's not the preacher, it's not the deacon, but it's me, oh Lord. It's me, oh Lord. I stand in the need of prayer. Abraham, the friend of God, father of faith, he confesses and he said, I am but dust and ashes. And that great prophet Isaiah laments and says, from my head to my feet, I am made of putrefying sores. Pascal, that great writer, orator, and Christian, he said, we are made of falsehood, duplicity, and insincerity. And we cover up those things within ourselves and hide them from ourselves. But Paul is not ignorant to that latent evil and that potential peril that lingers long in his bosom. For he said, "In me dwelleth no good thing." Ooh. And so Bunyan, who gave us Pilgrim's Progress and then Holy War, he realizes his insufficiency and that he is capable of anything apart from Christ. And he says, "I defy the devil himself to equal to me." Oh God, help us and forgive us, oh God, lest we ever get to the place till we think we've got it made and the race has been run and we become so bold that we could say or dare to say, "If the devil would have got me, he would have already got me by now." My friend, we will not go sweeping through the gate. No, when we go through the gate, we'll go dripping through the gate, having been washed, daily washed, and cleansed, and kept, and made pure. Amen. We're not touching a time card. Amen. This religion is not a seniority program, but it's he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. I'm not interested. I'm not concerned about what you used to do and how you used to preach and how you used to live. Our consideration at hand is the desire still burning. Amen. We're nearing the finish line. Amen. Is the fire still burning in the church? Do we still have the power of God? Do we still have the power of God? Lancelot Andrews was one of the translators of the 1611 King James Bible. He witnessed the immorality and the scandal of King James's court, and his tongue was tied, and he said nothing. Later, he repented of his silence, and he said these words, "I am made of sin. I am a burden to myself. I am ruined, wretched, excessively sinful creature." Oh, do you know the reason why there is such failure among us? None of us are willing to admit our failures. I've said this often because he said it best. W.T.P. Wollstone, in his book concerning Simon Peter, and Simon Peter denying his Lord, W.T.P. Wollstone said, "Old brethren preacher," he said, "the day that a saint falls is the day that he ceases to fear to fall." So long as the fear of failure is in his heart, his feet will be watched and kept of God. The reason there is such failure among us, there is no longer any fear of failure. And we look with question and offended pride and say, "Lord, you mean you want to wash me? Help me while I preach." Amen. You see, we have the problem that Uzziah did when he was strong. His heart was lifted up to his own destruction. Amen. But somehow we cannot see our errors. We only notice the faults of our neighbor. And somehow our sins, amen, we do not, amen, think of them and deem them so bad. Come on now. But our neighbor's sins, they're like the oncoming car whose headlights, amen, meet you in the dark. Somehow or another, their headlights are always more glaring than yours. And we sit and call the kettle black while we ourselves are a blackened pot. And we cannot see our own sin. Amen. Here's a defiled man, a privileged man, a public man, but a proud man and a defiled man. Stay with me now. Not only is Peter, amen, a defiled man, but Peter is a defiant man. For now, amen, listen to the echo that resounds through the ages. Amen, that comes out of that hallowed hall. Amen, as the scripture tells us that he said, never. Amen, that's the defiant man. Amen, the citadel of your will. Amen, whatever sin is, whatever you call it, whatever you label it, it is nothing more than determined self-will. Oswald Smith said, the right to myself. And Madame Gunyan said, the last enemy is self, the defiant man, the man that says, never!
A defiant man says, thou wilt never wash my feet. Hallelujah. Our never sin. All other sins we easily and willingly let go. But that never sin we cling and hold close to. Never. Never. My brethren, I submit to you today the things that you're having in your life, the crisis you face in your experience, is not some new thing. It's an old thing. It's a never thing. It's something you fought from the beginning, but you never let go of. Peter is a defiant man because there is something here that he says, never. Hallelujah. Amen. When cotton was king in Alabama, amen, emblazoned upon a white flag, amen, was a cotton bowl in full bloom, amen, wrapped with glittering coils and glistening fangs and wicked beady eyes. Amen, was a serpent around that cotton bowl in full bloom. A serpent around that cotton bloom. Underneath it was the Latin words, noli me tangere. Amen, which simply means, don't touch me. Amen, here the Lord has somewhat to say to Peter, and he has put his finger on his serpent sin. Amen, that one thing that he is unwilling to let go. Amen, that point that he lacks surrender. What is it? It's that root of rebellion. It's that resume of ruin and that response of revolt that rises up. Amen. The old black preacher, he read it wrong, but his message was great. He preached on the sin which does so easily upset you. Woo! And that is the peril of a many alive. It's that never sin. It's that last sin. That one thing will not give up. That one thing will not yield. Submit and surrender. The defiant man. The man that will not. Amen. Surrender and say, "Watch me, Lord." Hallelujah. In Leviticus, in chapter 13, concerning the cleansing of the leper, the writer so wonderfully says, then the priest shall command that they wash the thing wherein the plague is. If he's got a spot on his toe, don't wash his hand, wash his toe. Wash the thing, the scripture says. Wash the thing wherein the plague is. Many of us are not willing to apply the divine detergent on the place wherein the plague is. And so, I must hurry. The Lord said, calmly,
while he looked upon Peter with sympathetic eyes that burned into his very soul. Do you see the story? The Lord is girded with a towel, a basin in his hands. The room becomes still and quiet. Everyone looks away. They dare not to look into the eyes of the other. Peter becomes flushed. His eyes blaze with indignation. And his voice resounds and says, "Never," but quietly, calmly, the Lord of glory looks into the face of a defiled man, and he says, "If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me." I want you to see with me, my brethren. He almost forfeits his commission because he does not want to be cleansed. He jeopardizes his calling because he's not willing to humble himself and be washed. And irregardless of your calling, irregardless of your election, irregardless of your appointments, of your talents, of your privileges, of your prominence, you jeopardize your calling. You jeopardize your commission when you are unwilling to be cleansed. And Jesus said, "If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me." Can you imagine as those words fall upon Peter's ears and they sink into his mind? No part? After having had such a part, now he jeopardizes losing his part. Help me while I preach. Amen. How many can you name? Amen. The roster is almost full. We're suffering too much fallout, spiritual fallout. The statistics are grim. The casualties are mounting higher. Those who once had such a part, because they did not have that frequent cleansing and that daily communion, now they have no part. Ooh, amen. My. And so Paul laments from a Philippian jail, and he said, "Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. My fellow laborer, my fellow companion, my fellow friend, having had such a part, now he has no part." May I preach to you, my brethren, when we compromise our daily cleansing and our personal and private communion, we're putting in jeopardy our part. Come on here now. Amen. When we begin to get to the place that we think we've got it made and we've got everything taken care of, God help us lest we lose our part. I said, God help us lest we lose our part. Amen. Some years ago, a precious individual, she said, Chad, she said, when I was 14 years old, she said, "Your aunt was dying. The doctors had done all they could do." She said, "But I felt in my young heart to go pray for your aunt." She said, "I went down to your aunt's house, went into that room where your aunt lay on the sick bed dying, doctors having given up all hope." And she said, "Son, something happened to me I had never experienced before." She said, "The Holy Ghost fell on me, and I began to speak in a funny language. And your dying aunt come off of that bed healed by the power of God." That's a wonderful story in the McDonald family, because that's my dad's mother. Oh, but if you were to see her today, amen, married, divorced, and remarried, I don't say that with relish. Amen. with bobbed hair and painted face and jewelry hanging all over her body. You would never imagine that she one time had such a part, and now she has no part. My God of heaven, do you understand what I am saying? Christ tells us, except you be cleansed and you stay cleansed, you have no part with me. Amen. Not only do we have here a defiled man, and then second, a defiant man, but gladly may I say, we have a desperate man. Amen. He dares not lose that communion. He dares not sacrifice that fellowship. And he said, wash me, Lord. Wash me. Wash not only my feet, but wash my head and my hands also. He's a desperate man. What about it? Is there a desperate man in the house today? Is there somebody that wants a renewed fellowship? Is there somebody in this house that wants a renewed consecration, a new cleansing? Give it to the Lord. Give it to the God. Whatever it costs, whatever the price, I'm a desperate man. I want your presence and your power, Lord. Give God a praise today. Wash me. Wash not my feet only. Wash my hands and my head. Wash all of me. For how can two walk together except two be agreed? You and Christ are going to have to get in an agreement about some things, and then you can have your part back again. So the psalmist has been well said already by these precious children. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and I shall be whiter than snow. Wash me. Wash me. Don't lose your part. Now hear Christ. To wash his defiled servant's feet takes a towel. But so that he may wash us from all sin and every stain, he takes not a towel, but he takes a cross, and he carries it up along the hill to hang between heaven and earth, so that we could be cleansed. Hallelujah. Amen. Lancelot Andrews, that translator for the King James Bible, after he repents of his dumb tongue and his compromise with sin in King James's court, he said, "But thou, who art the propitiation of the whole world, be thou my propitiation also, and be the propitiation for the sins of Lancelot Andrews." Ooh. John said, "My little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. But if any man sin, he hath an advocate with the Father." This letter he writes to those, amen, whom he calls children. He invokes them as his beloved, as if they were his own. And he said, "I would that you sin not. But if any man sin, he hath an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and is the propitiation for our sins." Our sins, the little children, our sins. We are that are the children of the household of faith, our sins, but not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. There is forgiveness, there is washing, there is cleansing, there is a daily wash, there is a daily cleansing. Amen. Call it what you will. Amen. There is a progressive walk. For if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us every day. It cleanseth us ever, once, and always. It cleanseth us from all sin. Give him a praise today. Hallelujah. 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 Lord, wash my head. Wash my head, Lord. My mind's foggy. My thoughts are muddled. I can't see clear through this thing. I don't understand this. You said, I don't know right now. Help me, Lord. Wash my head. Wash my will. Wash my will. Until I can say, I delight to do thy will. Oh, God. There are some in this house today. We need our will to be once again washed. Graham Scroggie was once up preaching so eloquently, he noted the tears as they coursed down the cheek of a young lady. He made an altar. She did not come. He went to her seat. She was unyielding, would not surrender. A Bible was there on the pew. He opened it to where Peter was in a trance, and a great sheet came down from heaven, taken up as if it had been at four corners, and all manner of beasts within. And the Lord said, rise, slay and eat. And Peter said, not so, Lord. Wise and old Graham Scroggie, circle those three words on that line. Young lady, this is you. This is your problem. You're saying, not so, Lord. He went back to the pulpit, closed the service. Later he noticed as she stayed in her pew, there was a countenance of gladness and joy on her face. He went to where she was. She was weeping so and rejoicing. She did not even notice he was there. But lying on the pew was the still open text. And he noticed that the words he had circled, not so, Lord, she had taken a pencil and X'd out, not so, so that the line only read, Lord. That's what it must be in our daily life. That's what it must be in our every thought, in our every desire, in our every want. Lord, may I ask you today, amen, what place does the Bible have in your life? Come on now. Amen. Do you find yourself enjoying other reading material? Amen. Involving yourself in literature? Amen. In various subjects? Amen. In current events? What place does the Bible have? Amen. In your experience? Amen. My brethren, may I ask you, what is your motive for preaching? What is your motive, amen, for desiring the pulpit? Amen. Is your motive to merely be a preacher? Or you desire to be rather a messenger of God? Amen. Some time ago, my dad and I were talking. Amen. We were talking about great sermons. I love sermons. Amen. I was telling about some things I had read and how they helped me. He looked up. He had that look on him. I got ready for it. I knew he had something for me. And he looked at me. His eyes red. Amen. The power of God was shining on his face. He said, sad son, with a gentle rebuke. He said, we do not need another great sermon. We just need somebody to get up and tell us what God said. And that's what we need. My brethren, it's for God to wash us until we're willing to say what God said, until we're willing to preach without fear, without favor, without compromise. A holy backbone. Amen. The preacher is sweet in the heart, sin black. And Jesus says, to be a man that's willing to be washed, that will do the will of God. Wash my head, Lord. Wash my head until I get it right. Until my mind thinks, what is the mind of the Spirit? And Lord, wash my hands. Wash my hands. Who shall ascend up to the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands. God, wash not only my will, wash my worship. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. And be ye clean,
that bear the vessels of the Lord. Whew. Do you get the inference there? Wash and then worship. Many times we would rather worship and forget about the wash. Those that ministered in the tabernacle were commanded to be cleansed daily. They trod underneath of them an earthen floor, and they had to be washed daily. One theologian said that that laver, amen, was wide-lipped, amen, and beautifully, brilliantly, and brightly polished of burnished brass. Amen. So that when, amen, they that ministered drew near, amen, they could see the reflection of their own countenance, amen, upon the wide lip of the laver. And having seen their countenance, realized their defilement, and knew they once again needed to wash. My brethren, let us every day go to the Word of God and behold ourselves.